The following talk was given by Father John Harden, July 14th through the 18th, 1999, Retreat for Men, sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life, Chicago.
We need many more questions for tonight's question period. As I recommended yesterday, fill that box. I'm sure you have questions. Number one. Number two, I admire your silence. Keep it up. Our present conference will be on the Catholic layperson as catechist of the Eucharist. The Catholic as catechist of the Holy Eucharist. There is so much to cover in this conference. We may not finish the contents in the present period we've got. First of all, let's be clear. All of us are meant to be channels of grace to others. Indeed, unless we are channels of grace to others, we risk our own salvation. We have received the faith. We know the faith. Most of the human race has not been taught even that Christ is a living God. How desperately, I use that word deliberately, how desperately we need our Catholic laity to be engaged in the active apostolate of sharing the faith. I repeat, we risk our own salvation unless we have not just exerted ourselves. I will say with conviction, unless we've exhausted ourselves in sharing our true faith with others. This will be a strange opening. The last person we would expect to recommend as a model for retreatants, and here as a model for retreatants who are to share their faith, I'll repeat, the last person we'd expect me to recommend would be the little flower, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. I'm sure you know, she had been declared what? A doctor of the Universal Church. Her short life, just 24 years, from 1873 to 1897, was spent, most of that life was spent with her family till early teens, when she entered, as you know, the Carmelite Order. In what she wrote, At best, we can say one volume. Autobiography tells us, I'll repeat, tells us volumes, short amount of space, on what is the principal task of what the church calls a catechist, one who consciously and deliberately teaches the Catholic faith to others. I have a sentence here which I'll quote to you. A retreat I consider as useless unless those who make the retreat become active channels of grace to others. After all, the purpose of catechesis, as it is called, is to change people's lives. Instruction of the mind is given as a means of inspiring the will. Those two faculties go together, mind and will. Our minds must know the true faith so that the will then will be inspired to share what the mind knows. And inspiring the will to move will require overcoming in all of us a selfish preoccupation with ourselves. There is nothing more important we can do than to share with others the faith we profess. Over the years, in counseling fathers and mothers, I have told them, you bring these children into the world, but, dear God, not to train them for this world. You are to prepare the children that God gives you for the world to come. Viewed from this perspective, the little flower takes on a very new meaning. Along with St. Francis Xavier, the Apostle of the Indies, she is not only now a saint and a member of those who are to teach the church. Francis Xavier worked for less than 10 years in India. During a short time in India, when he exhausted himself to death, he instructed and personally baptized over 100,000 people, both in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. Repeat what I've said before. I'll take my time in this conference. We may finish within the hour. We don't. The next period will continue. I have four parts to this conference. The teaching of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the primacy of love. Secondly, the catechist, one who teaches the faith, as teacher mainly of Christian love. Third, the catechist have the channel of the graces which we need to love others. Then I will draw, number four, some practical conclusions. The teaching of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. Instead of using the third person, I will quote from writings, make a short comment on each quotation. As you know, our principal work, in fact, the only one we can say she ever published. Of course, published after her death, was her autobiography. In the autobiography, she says, first quotation, "When I looked upon the mystical body of Christ, recognized myself as none of the members which St. Paul described. What is more, I desired to distinguish myself more favorably in this mystical body. Love appeared to me to be the hinge of my vocation." Uncle Thérèse. She never went to classes in theology. She lived only, as I've said, a short 24 years. Besides living at home, most of her life then was spent in the convent. It is the love of other human beings. That is why God became man. God became man to show the human race how dearly and deeply he loves us. Absolutely speaking, we may say theologically, God could have redeemed the world without dying on the cross. But he chose to die on the cross to prove to us how profoundly he loves us. I have now been praying for 60 years for martyrdom. I thought I hadn't made once on a 3-week trip to India to teach the missionaries of charity. Shortly before midnight, I was staying in the upper floor of the convent where some 50 sisters were staying in instruction in the faith while they were living in India. 3 cars on midnight poured into convent grounds. A dozen armed men came out of those cars and began shouting, "Where are the women?" They came to rape the nuns. The bottom floor of that house was covered with glass paneling. First thing the men did was to shoot the glass paneling, tore it down, walked into the building, began shouting, "Where are the women?" The nuns, of course, about 30 of them, frightened to death. Who came down? Not one of the nuns, but this masculine character. Could have shot me to death immediately. Oh, how disappointed I was. I spoke to them in a language they could understand. They came, I repeat, to rape the sisters. And gave them a long conversation. In the meantime, the police were summoned. The police came. Now, arrest a single one of these would-be murderers. Let me tell you, when St. Paul pleaded with his young Christians to love their neighbor so deeply and dearly that they should be willing to die for those whom they love, St. Paul was speaking to us. Next quotation. This is Teresa of Avila. Pardon me. No. Little flower. Therese, I pronounce it, of Lisieux. I know, she said, how the church had a body composed of various members. But in this body, the necessary and most noble member was not lacking. And she considered herself member of the mystical body, whose duty, so she felt, was to share the faith. I continue quoting Therese of Lisieux. I knew that the church had a heart, that such a heart appeared to be aflame with love. I knew that one love drove the members of the church to action. That if this love were extinguished, the apostles would have proclaimed the gospel no longer. The martyrs would have shed their blood no more. I saw and realized that love sets off the branches of all the vocations, that love is everything. And this same love embraces every time and place. In one word, that love is everlasting. Again, unquote, Little Flower. Therese understood herself. She knew well, a cloistered contemplative nun. Her one strong desire was to bring Christ to as many people as possible. And the secret, this Therese speaking, the secret is to love people so dearly, you're willing to spend yourself even to dying for others. Then I still continue with her saying, then, nearly ecstatic, with a supreme joy in my soul, I proclaimed O Jesus, my love, at last, I have found my calling. My calling is to love. Certainly, I have found my proper place in the church. And you gave me that wonderful place, my God, in the heart of the church, my mother, our beloved, and thus I'll be all things as only love can desire to do. Realize it. She was in her 20s when she wrote this. Under obedience to her superiors, she loved the people whom God had created, but she understood better than most of us, I'm afraid, understand. God did not create the human race to remain on earth. That's why, first reason why we die. Christ gave us the true faith that we might spend ourselves in sharing this faith with others. Now, my own two-sentence commentary, what I've read, is not our purpose in this conference to analyze this beautiful apostrophe of the little flower. There's only one, but a basic thought we should extract from Saint Therese's words. What is that? Religious instruction without teaching love is meaningless. Catechetics. We've now learned to spell the word. Catechetics without teaching charity is, what shall I call it? An unclassed and enslaved Christianity. Christianity without charity is paganism. Whoa! I could talk for hours on that statement. Most of the human race, all the standards we know people are living by, most of the human race is still pagan. And the reason is because, how educated we Americans are. We now have an average of over 5 million Americans going to college every year. What the world most needs is to be taught the meaning of love. Let me tell you, you don't teach the meaning of love verbally. You teach the meaning of love by loving. How this needs to be said. All of us, be with the speaker, desperately need to re-examine our practice of Christian charity. The very word charity has come to be identified with, dropping a dime to your generous, a quarter in a beggar's cup. is to say this conference is a catechesis, but the catechesis of love. And please God, will not be misunderstood the language that I use. Remember, there are four parts to this meditation. Part one we've just finished. Part two, the catechist as teacher of Christian love. There is more than appears on the surface in these words. Over the years, I've taught theology for over 30 years. I've taught theology to my own Jesuits for 25 years. But I've told one audience after another what you are to teach others is, of course, the articles of the faith. But the most fundamental article of the Christian faith is the duty we have to love selflessly. There are so many truths, truths revealed by God, that need to be believed. There are also many pieces of the gospel that need to be learned, that we might say there is so little time to teach others. Many of you are fathers of children. In God's name, I'm speaking to you. If there is one thing the modern world does not understand, is the meaning of Christian love. Whatever else, therefore, one who is to teach the faith, we're all, every one of us, and what our age or position in life, we are to share our faith with others. That is a duty. Hear it. It should start in childhood. But within this faith, we are to especially teach what we call the heart of Christianity, which is Christian charity. Suppose I add the adjective Christian, for I use the word charity. I've said, I'm sure, to some of you many times, our dictionaries are practically useless. The average, I've counted them, perhaps is unabridged. The average number of definitions for each word, I counted 5 definitions every word. How we Catholics had better know the Catholic vocabulary. I'm not indulging in any pious pap. You must understand our Catholic faith, use the words in a Catholic meaning, if need be, explain to those with whom we are speaking what we mean. In this case, by the word charity. Christian charity had to be practiced by the living God who became man to practice this virtue. And he practiced Christian charity up to and including his crucifixion on Calvary. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. To be an authentic Catholic Christian, we must share our faith with others. And the verb is we must. And the one truth of our faith, absolutely indispensably, must be shared, is the truth of what we mean by Christian charity.